Josh.
Okay. So we're holding on the third line of Zion, third line of the wide line on Zion base. So we talked about yesterday the whole question of when we say Metav Sadeh or Metav Kami Yishalem, that a Mazik has to pay out of the best kind of field, does it mean do we evaluate it based on his best or based on the Nizik's best? Rebbe Bishmol versus Rebbe Akiva. So now the Gemara is going to bring up a third possibility. We talked about going according to the Nizik, we talked about going according to the Mazik. Now we're going to bring up a third possibility. Maybe you don't go according to either one. Maybe you just go according to out there what's considered in the world to be Egypt, what's considered to be Bainanus, what's considered to be Zimurus. So, Bominir of Shmuel Ba'aba, Makruni Mirab Abba, that's what Shmuel Ba'aba asked of Abba, Shen Shomin. When you're estimating the value, what's Idis and what's Ziburis and so forth, B'shaloi Hen Shomin, do you go according to his own property? So whatever is the best that he has is considered Idis. And Rashi gives the example, even let's say, for example, his Ziburis is, even let's say he has really, really top quality Idis, and his Ziburis is worth as much as what most people would consider Idis. He would have to give him from his own Idis, maybe we would say, because you go according to his own. Or maybe not. Maybe you go according to what the world considers Idis. In his particular case, that happens to be Ziburis, but it's still relative to everybody else, it is. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel like Yiboylach. So if you're talking within what Rabbi Shmuel says, then you have no reason to ask. I'm a Nizik Shevinen. He says that you figure it out based on the Nizik, meaning, therefore, Tosfos says, given that he says that you're learning it from Gzeira Shava, that you're learning it again, from, we said yesterday, from the word Sadehu, that they said Sade Lamaila and Sade Lamata, then therefore, what? Biva Tzeacha versus Metav Sadehu, yeah. Therefore, okay, then there's no question about it. Therefore, okay, you go according to the Nizik's, and that's that. You don't look even at the Mazik's, let alone you don't look at B'Shalom. Kiti Boilach, a little bit of Akiva. Really, the question then only becomes a point of Akiva. Dama B'Din Mazik Shemin. And he says, after all, that you figure according to the Mazik's. So, my mate of Sadeh or Omer Achmon al Mu'utidin Nizik. So, is it that when the Torah, according to Rabbi Akiva, when the Torah says mate of Sadehu, it only comes to tell us, don't look at the Nizik's? Well, we don't know. Maybe you have to look at the Mazik's. Maybe you have to look at the Olam. Maybe it means only the Mazik's. Nobody else's. Especially, the Mephoshim point out, Rabbi Akiva did not actually, I mean, in the Braisa that Rav Ashi quoted yesterday, we said that Rabbi Akiva explicitly said, Mate of Sadeh shall Mazik, or Mate of Tamer shall Mazik. But leaving aside that Braisa, if we just go back to the original Braisa, which had the Machloikas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, all it said is that Rabbi Akiva said, Loi Barkos of Elaligus Lamazakim in Aegis. So granted, okay, we understood that it meant that it can't mean that he means the same kind of the same definition of idiot as Rabbi Shmuel, because we have to say he's arguing on that. But you're still left with, does he doubt to mean then the Mazik and nobody else's, or does he mean anything as long as it's not the Nizik? It could just as well be what the world considers idiot, even though the Mazik himself has even better idiot than that. So that's the question. Omalei, instead of Abba answers him, Rachmona Omameit of Sadeu, what are you even asking the question? The Torah says you go according to the best of his field. You're going to tell me you go according to what the world considers Meitav, considers Idis. If he has better Idis, then yeah, he has better Idis. What are you asking? Otherwise, if he's paying with anything less than his personal Idis, that's not Meitav Sadeu. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says Meitav Sadeu shall mazel. Okay, so, however, Rav Shmuel Ba'aba asks him, in that case, I have a problem from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Eim le'ele idis, suppose that a person only has idis, kulam goyim in idis. Well, then everybody, from here on, really, I mean, except for, I mean, we're going to be talking from here on pretty much until the next Mishnah, I mean, we're going to be talking about collecting for Nezakin, but we're to a large extent, we're going to be talking about collecting on all different kinds of cases where you're collecting from Karka. So therefore, in that sense, our next the next block and a half, yeah, it's talking more generally about those kinds of things, and therefore kind of complements the Gemara that we learned about this in Gittin that talked about that there's different tiers of who gets paid out of what. So we learned in Gittin then, we said, and we discussed it yesterday, that a nizek gets paid out of idis, sorry, a meter sadehu. A bal choyv gets paid out of beinonis. So we discussed in Gittin the possibilities. We're going to discuss in our Gemara as well. Is it that midaraisa, maybe he's really only supposed to get the burdus, the chacham upgraded into beinonis? Is it maybe to begin with that the actual din is he's supposed to get beinonis? Or maybe even there was the opinion of Rav Shimon, we had them in Gittin the other way around. By rights, the bal choyv should also get idis. But we want to discourage predatory lending. We don't want that he's going to lend somebody money knowing that he's going to end up defaulting and then he's going to take his idis. You know, he sees the other guy has idis. He really wants it, so therefore he's going to lend him money, you know, knowing that he's going to eventually default.
You can say the same about the nezek.
You don't deliberately go.
One second.
No, because you have. What are you going to mean? You deliberately placed your shur in the way that this guy's shur is going to go worse. I mean, you can't control what.
If you know, if you pay according to the nezek. It's one thing, but if you pay according to the mazik, then you can sell his property before he's going to do damage.
Selling his property, we're going to get to in a minute. Right, that's true. Yes, the person sells all his property before he does. That's how it is. I mean, you can't get if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about something else. That according to Rav Shimon over there, that we hadn't gifted the reason why minatora a bal chayv should collect from idis, just like a nizik. However, in the case of a nizik, you don't control it. You're not able to make yourself be a nizik. In the case of a bal chayv, you're able to make yourself be a bal chayv, and there's a likelihood, and you can do it to somebody who you know there's a likelihood is going to default, then you're going to get a nizik. So therefore, when the chacham downgraded him to bainis. And then we also learned over there in Gittin, also in Ksubas, also in various other places, that when it comes to a woman in Ksubas, she's entitled to collect from ziburis. And we said the reason is because women don't need that incentive of idis or beninis in order to get married. They want to get married regardless.
In case of bal chayv, do we have an idea of what's around the wild? Is it idis? Is it beninis?
So we said that normally he collects from beninis, but that's what our that's what we said. There's a few possibilities. Is it that midah, which we're going to discuss later on in our Gemara as well, is it that midah raisa that he's really supposed to collect from ziburis, but the chachamim figured if you do that, then nobody's going to want to lend money. Because who's going to want to lend money knowing that if the guy defaults, all you're going to get is equal risk. Therefore, they upgraded him to beinonis. Or maybe the other way around. Maybe really he's supposed to get idis, but we want to discourage predatory lending. Therefore, we downgraded him to beinonis. Anyway, so now our braisa says, ein leil idis, suppose that somebody only has idis property, and he owes for nizikin, and he owes a creditor, and he owes for his wife, ksuba, kul and gave him an idis. Okay, well then fine, everybody collects from idis, because that's all there is. Beninus, if all he has is Beninus, call him Govim Beninus. Ziburus, call him Govim Ziburus. So far, that part is straightforward. Now comes the less straightforward part. The next line is also, if he has all three, Hoyle Idis or Beninus or Ziburus, fine, if he has all three, okay, Nizokin Beidus, or Vasoib Beninus, or Subasisha Beziburus, straightforward. Now come the complications. What if he only has two of them? Idis or Beninus, what if all he has is Idis and Beninus property? Nizokin b'idis, in that case, a nizik collects from idis, like he's supposed to. Bal chayv, ksubasisha b'beninis. Then the bal chayv collects from beninis, like he should. And the ksubasisha gets upgraded to beninis because there's no ziburis for her to collect from. Beninis for ziburis. What about if you have beninis and you have ziburis? Nizokin or bal chayv b'beninis. So then the nizik has to get from beninis because there's no idis for him to get from. The bal chayv also gets from beninis because that's what he's supposed to get. Ksubasisha b'ziburis, and the woman gets from ziburis. Idis to Ziburis. Now, what about if you have the guy only has Idis and Ziburis, no Beninus? Nizok and the Idis, well then the Nizik gets Idis, or Bal Chayv, so Basisha is Ziburis. Now, the Bal Chayv gets downgraded to Ziburis in that case. And the so Basisha remains at Ziburis as it normally would. Okay, thus far the Braisa. Now, so Rav Shmuel Ba'aba asks, Katani Mia Metzia. So let's consider, one of the cases we had was Beninus to Ziburis. We said Nizokin of Achayv Beninus of Ksubasisha Beziburis. Now the question becomes: Be Amit Shaloihe and Shaman. If you're telling me that we don't it, the definite, if you're going to tell me that for purposes of Nizikin, the definition of Idis is not what the world considers to be Idis. It's relative to what he himself owns. B'dimazik Sheminin. In that case, All he has is Venus and Buddhist. To us, the Venus Shaloka Idis, fine. In that case, then his Venus is Idis relative to what he has.
Venus is Venus, but it's
Venus relative. No, but it's relative to everybody else. Venus, but relative to what he has. Again, the Shaloka and Shaman means we look within the value of what he himself has. His top quality right now is Venus. Therefore, that becomes there for our purpose. That's his. Everybody else's Venus is his Idis, right? The Yadocha Balchoy Beit of the Buddhist. In that case, why are you allowing the Balchoy to collect from this Venus, downgrade him to the Buddhist? Wouldn't that prove then that evidently you do go according
because
to
Venus for the Balchoy?
Because you Ben the Balchoy. Yeah, well, because the Balchoy usually is entitled to Venus. Fine. But in this case, we should consider his Venus to actually be Idis, and Idis is reserved for the Nezikin. The answer is Hachav Ma'askin and Kanchoisala Idis of Machra. Fine. But you know what? The Braisa can be talking about a case where at one time he did, before he borrowed the money, he did have Idis. So at that point, the Balchoyev got a Shibud on the Benis, Umachra. And then afterwards, he sold his Idis. So just because he sold his Idis does not take away the Balchoyev's rights on that Benis, which he already had from beforehand. And in fact, Rav Chista said the same thing. That the case is he had Idis, and then later on he sold it. And he borrowed money. At the time he borrowed, he had Idis and Beninus and Ziburis. Later on, he sold the Idis. And Rabbi Hananel points out, which our Gemara is going to discuss later, the point which we had already in Gittin and a number of times, that you can't collect from Nechasim Shabadim, meaning property that was sold to a third party, if there's Nechasim B'nei Chorin available, if there's property that still belongs to the original borrower. Therefore, of necessity. Now, therefore, you can't allow this Baal Chayv to collect from that Idis. Well, you couldn't anyway. I mean, he doesn't. Well, if there was nothing else available, he could collect from the Idis, as we'll talk about later on Amud Beis. We'll talk about such scenarios. But right now, given that the original borrower still has Venus and Ziburis, then the Baal Chayv is going to have to collect from one of those. And since he originally had, since primarily he was expected to be collecting from Venus, then that's how it stays now also.
So when the Baal Chayv prior to Nezek, how do we?
For our purposes, it doesn't really matter which came first, the chayv or the nezek. The point still remains that the point still remains that when he took out the chayv, that created a lien on the benefits that he had. In a way, it is. We're going to talk about later. When further on in the sugya, Tosfos points. Well, it's a different kind of chayv. Tosfos points out on the face of it, it's sort of like a milvah alpeh. How can you collect from property anyhow? We'll get to that later on. But for the time being, yeah, I mean, the nezek creates once Beis Din decides that he has to pay, then that creates a lien on his property, but it creates a lien on his edges. The chayv creates a lien on his vein.
It supersedes the chayv?
No, nothing supersedes that. Again, here we're talking about originally he had all three. Therefore, the nezek had his lien on the edges. The Baal chayv had his lien on the benenis. Now that you sold the Idis, and again, you can't collect from the Shabbatim where there are B'nai Chorin available. Therefore, let's say the Nezek happened only afterwards. Because, right. Yeah, if the Nezek had happened before, he already has his lien on it, and therefore maybe that doesn't get canceled out by it being sold. But, let's say the Chorin came first, so there was a lien on the Beninus. Afterwards came the Nezek. By rights, you should be getting the Idis. The Idis was sold. Therefore, he also has to get out of whatever's left of the Beninus. Okay. He must have talking now in Mistabra. Actually, that seems to be logical to say that that's the case, that we're talking about, that it's not that the person, the Chachila, only had two qualities of land. He had all three, but then he sold one. Midkatani Achariti, because the next part of the Braisa said continued, Beninus for Ziburis, that we said if he only has Beninus and Ziburis, Nizokin with Beninus, Balchoyv, Ksubasisha with Ziburis, then we say the Nizik gets Beninus and the Balchoyv and the woman's Ksuba get Ziburis, Kashin Adodi. Now, if you were going to talk about that, if you were going to say that Lachila, if to begin with he only had Beninus and Ziburis, then you'd have a contradiction. Why in that case are we downgrading the Balchoyv to Ziburis? When in the previous case, we allowed him to take Benedict. Ella lav shmamina. Wouldn't that prove that you're talking two different cases. Can show it's a edis a makra, can show it's a edis a makra. Depends. If he had edis beforehand, then the Balkhoi was supposed to get from his Beninus, the edis is gone, but he still keeps the Beninus. He still gets to take the Beninus. Whereas if he only had Beninus and Zibordus in the first place, he never had edis in the first place, then the Beninus is reclassified as edis, because that's what it is relative to what he has. Therefore, a Balkhoi doesn't get to take the edis, therefore he gets downgraded to Zibordus.
Either way, you can reclassify Beninus and edis once.
No, because again, because if he originally had edis, that means at the time he took out the loan, this Beninus, what everybody else considers Beninus, was Beninus to him also. Therefore, the Balkhoi was expected to collect that. His real Beninus. Therefore, the Balkhoi was expected to collect out of that. Just because later on you sold that edis doesn't change the classification. Yes, it now makes that Beninus now, if a nezik happens, that Beninus becomes edis relative to Nezikin, but nevertheless, at that point, you already had, the Balkhoi already had a lien on that property. As opposed to, if there was no idis in the first place, then yes, then this Beninus is reclassified as idis to begin with. When you took out the loan already, it's classified as idis, and a Balkhoi doesn't get some idis.
And there's also another thing you have to consider. If he doesn't have enough, let's say he has idis, Beninus, and Diburis. If there's no Balkhoi, there's a Nezek, he doesn't have enough idis for the Khoi.
Sure. Well, then whatever is left just gets taken out of Beninus. Sure. Okay. But you know that's Okay. However, but the Gemara says maybe not necessarily. Because you could actually maybe not necessarily. Do we have to say that one part of the Braise is talking about where he had it is and sold it, and the other one is talking about where he didn't? You could have a different way of explaining the contradiction. That maybe both cases are talking about that he did not have idis, that he did not have idis which he sold. Both Rashi and Tosfos bring that there existed a girsa among the Rishonim kishahoysela idis umachra. That maybe both of them are talking about where he did have idis and sold it. But both Rashi and Tosfos say that the clearer way to understand it seems to be the girsa that we have printed by us. Let's say that both cases are talking about he did not have idis. And sold it, which therefore means, in other words, that he only had shalahei salei edis amachra. Right. Okay. But since we mentioned before shalahei salei edis amachra, so now for parallelism we're mentioning shalahei salei edis amachra. And in that case, then that would mean of necessity we'd have to say b'shal olam hen shamin, that the definition of edis beninus and ziburis depends on what most people consider on the average quality of field. In that area, not specifically on what he has. V'loy kasha, and though it's not a contradiction, ha deshavya beninus shaloi keidus salma, b'chan deloy shavya beninus shaloi keidus salma. It depends. Is his granted, he only has beninus, let's say. He only had, the two cases we had are where he has beninus and ziburis, or where he had, we had Beninus and Ziburis. Yeah, we had two Braises. Yeah, so when I said Katani Akriti, I'd mentioned that the later part of the Braise says, sorry, I meant a different Braise said. So we had two Braises that talk about the case of Beninus and Ziburis. So we can say then that one Braise is talking about where his Beninus is worth as much as the average person's idis, as most people's idis. Well, then therefore, the Nizakin get to collect out of that Beninus, and the Baal HaKhoiv do not. Because Bishal Olam Hain Shomim, we're going to say. We'll go according to what most people consider it is Beninus and Ziburis. But Kandalo Shavi Beninus Shalai Kedis Salma. And the other case would be where his Idis is not worth as much as most people's Idis. It's worth somewhere around the regular price of Beninus that most people have. So the first Braise would say then they're not arguing. Everybody agrees Bishal Olam Hen Shomin again, but it's a Bishal Olam Hen Shomin. Therefore, the Nizek has to get from Idis, and the Balkhoiv has to get from Beninus. In this case, if his Beninus is worth as much as everybody's Idis, then that's what the Nizek gets from, and not what the Balkhoiv gets from. But if his Beninus is not worth as much as everybody's Idis, then if he doesn't have idis at all he has is Beninus and Ziburis, and his Beninus is worth what most people would consider Beninus, or somewhere between there and idis, well then fine, okay. So then the Nizek necessarily is going to have to collect from that because there's nothing better available. the Baal Chov is also going to be entitled to collect from that because it's venomous.
There's nothing else.
And not just as a note, because there's the Buddhist as well. But because this venomous is worth as much as what most people would consider venomous, then fine, that's the Baal Chov is entitled to that, as opposed to if it's worth as much as most people's it is, you can't allow Baal Chov to collect from that. And that would be the case when we downgrade the Baal Chov to the Buddhist.
Even if the Chov is enormous?
Again, if the chov can't be completely paid out of the Buddhist, then you're gonna have to look elsewhere. Fine.
What exactly do we qualify as the Buddhist? Do we mean the Buddhist in terms of just quality?
Yeah.
The quality of what?
The quality of the land. The quality of the land. How much it produces per acre, how hard or easy it is to work, yeah. Yeah. All that sort of thing goes into figuring out the value of land, yeah. Or we could take another scenario that his baininess is worth as much as everybody else's baininess. And therefore the machlokes between the braises would be mar sava b'shalai hen shaman and mar sava b'shalai hen shaman. It would just be the machlokes. Do we go according to his or do we go according to the bell? If we go according to his, then this baininess happens to be his edis. Therefore, only a nizik is entitled to it, a Baal Chov is not. If we say, Shalolam, hen shaman, his baininess is equal to everybody else's baininess. Therefore, let the Baal Chov collect from that. Rashi brings over here, it was on the previous case that Tosfos had mentioned that there was another gear. So here is where both Rashi and Tosfos mentioned that there's another girsa, which is that his baininess was equal to everybody else's idis. And it would have to be the scenario that he had idis previously and sold it. Rashi says he prefers the first lashon. And then Tosfos also says that he prefers the girsa that we have here. Okay. Ravina gives another answer. Bid'ula pligi. Actually, the machloikas between the two braises, whether the Baal Chov is going to remain with the usual baininess that he would get, or whether he gets downgraded to the Buddhist, is actually a machloikas about the din that Ula says. Da'oma Ula, Tvar Torah Baal Chov is the Buddhist. Ula says that Minat Torah, a Baal Chov is only entitled to collect from the Buddhist land. Shenema, the pasuk says Bachut Tamod, you should
with,
and not from baininess. That the pasuk says the pasuk describes when you're going to take a mashkin from somebody, the guy owes you money and therefore you're coming to take a mashkin. This is, by the way, talking about if I recall correctly, it's talking about a mashkin shaloi b'shachalva. It's not that he gave you a mashkin at the time of the loan. It's rather that afterwards he's in danger of defaulting. Therefore, you want to take a mashkin from him to make sure that eventually he'll pay off the loan. So the pasuk says over there that you're not allowed to come into his house to take anything, but you have to stand outside, and the guy brings you out something as a mashkin, which actually
that's when it was taken at the time.
No, when it was taken afterwards. Yeah, yeah. So the Gemara towards the end of Matthias, the Gemara discusses the Mishnah and the Gemara discusses this. If I remember correctly, that's how it is. Shalom b'shat papa. Anyway. Actually, the Gemara explains over there, it's not actually you yourself, it's not actually necessarily the guy himself who comes and brings out the mashkin anyway. What we're talking about is, we're not just talking about a case of a mashkin, we're talking about also where the guy is completely defaulting on the loan, and therefore, Beistin has to send the shliach to collect possessions of his payoff. That's the puzzle continues talking about that, but wait, yeah. The Gemara explains that the pasuk is also besides the fact that it's talking about you taking a mashkin, a pledge, it's also including the idea where shliach beisdin is coming to the house to take things of his to sell off to pay off the debt because he defaulted on the loan. Where there's all kinds of rules over there. There's the Havdil in American law. You have rules of when you're bankrupt, what kind of things you expected to sell off to pay off your debts and what you're not. In halacha, there's similar concepts. We talked briefly about yesterday, for example, you're not obligated to sell the house that you live in to pay off your debt. We mentioned that connection with that guy, with the rich guy who couldn't sell his property. There's different others. You don't have to sell the clothes off your back. At the end of Matthias, next year, Beth Hashem, at the end of Matthias, we'll learn about the details of it.
Even if you have two houses?
No, if you have two houses, then you sell one of them. We're talking about the house that you live in. But whatever, yeah. We'll get there then.
What do they do when you...
It's called Masadrin Labal Chayv. It's called that the Beis Din figures out. It's sort of like bankruptcy. Yeah, they figure out what he needs, to be able to earn a living, for example, and to be able to for food and clothing, basics, and then everything else you sell off to pay him. So, now, the
like for
on right.
Never
house, the same way as we say with clothes, that if the clothes are very expensive, then you make him get cheaper ones. I think maybe in the case of a house. I don't remember actually. When we get to it, we'll talk about it. Anyway, the point is the Gemara says over there that even the Shliach Beis Din can't necessarily go into the house. The guy has to bring out things to him. Anyway. That's the pasuk, and the pasuk is b'chutz tamid. You stand outside, you meaning the creditor as well as the shliach beis din. Well, isha shatam noshavai, and the person that owes you the money, yotzi elecha es ha'avot, should bring out to you the mashkin. Avot is the word in Tanakh for mashkin. Hachutza, outside.
Which parsha?
It's in parsha Kisese. There's a word in Lashon Kodesh in the Mishnah and in the Gemara in a few places ovit, which means like a bucket. It doesn't mean that it doesn't bring the bucket outside. It means a mashkin. Yeah.
All the points.
So, all adaptions from that, ma daukesh al adam lahotzi b'chutz. Usually, what would a person bring outside of his house? Pachas shebekalim, the cheapest of his kalim. Therefore, in other words, so extending that, in other words, the point is when a person is giving a mashkin, he's likely to want to give a cheap thing. Therefore, by the same token, when it comes to paying off the debt, he's entitled, minatoda, to pay off with cheap land, with ziburis. Now, Tosfos immediately brings up the question, didn't we say yesterday at the Mahjana, we said that all metalplin are considered meitav, so there is no difference between good quality and bad quality metalplin, because any of them can be converted to cash. Tosfos says granted, nonetheless, though, the point is that when you're bringing out kalim, you're bringing out the least valuable of your kalim. When you're giving off land, also you're going to normally give away the least valuable of your land. So it's true. Kalim as a whole are considered meitav relative to land. But within kalim itself, you have better and worse ones. And when it comes to land, also you have better and worse ones.
Very useful. I mean, you cannot do anything really without your own kalim.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing with karka. You would rather give away your ziburis. So minat Torah, therefore, so the Torah is implying that when you get paid off a loan, if you're getting paid off on land, it's going to be in ziburis. In that case, why do the Chachamim say that a Bachov is upgraded and gets to collect from Benis? Because you don't want to lock the door in front of borrowers again. If a Malda knows that all he's going to get for all of after everything, after lending the guy money and him defaulting and going to Beis Din and so forth, all he's going to get out of it is a piece of Ziburis land, he's going to say, you know what, I can't be bothered to lend him in the first place. So therefore, the Chachamim upgraded him to Benis. So therefore, the machlokes between our two brises, one which said that a bachor, if you only have bainanis and ziburis, the bachor will collect from bainanis, and the other one that said you'll collect from ziburis, we said it was a stira, but now we have another way of answering it. Mar isle takanda zeula, the first brise that said that he collects from bainanis holds of ula takana, that the bachor is entitled to bainanis, midir abanam.
Why did ula say bainanis?
Because the Chachamim realized that if he made it to Kunev, basically, yeah, because nobody's going to want to lend money. Or my Lesbeth, I can't do all that. Whereas the other Benaisa does not hold of all the Sakana. They say, look, the Torah says he gets the Buddhist, and that's all he gets. Yeah. So. Now, many of Rishonim ask on that, what do you mean, whether the Benaisa agree with all those Sakana or not? It's not all those Sakana. The Mishnah says that, the Mishnah that says that, in Gittin, we learned that a Bachor gets banned. Okay, granted, a Braisa can disagree with the Mishnah, but still, why are we attributing it to Ula? So therefore, they explain differently, that it's not the question whether a Balchov, essentially, whether a Balchov gets banished. It's rather, why did he get banished? So So we discussed it again. We discussed in Gittin when we had this whole sugya about it, as I mentioned at the beginning. Is it that essentially, as like Ula is saying about Chayv should get to Burris and just we upgrade him to Beinonis? Or maybe is it the Lachila Minatora he's supposed to get Beinonis? Or maybe even we said the possibility, maybe even according to Reb Shimon, he should have gotten Idis, but we downgraded him to Beinonis. So therefore we could say these Brises are disagreeing on that point. Not whether he's really entitled to Beinonis or not. Granted, he's entitled to Beinonis. Nobody's disagreeing with that. But in a case like this, where there's Beinonis and Ziburis, is it that essentially he was supposed to get Ziburis and was upgraded to Beinonis? So in this case, we're going to leave him at the Ziburis level. Or is it that essentially he should have gotten Beinonis to begin with? Minatorda, he should have gotten Beinonis or maybe even Idis, and then we can't downgrade him all the way to Ziburis. Then of necessity, we have to give him Beinonis.
And the answer is?
So that's just another way of explaining the Gemara, that we have two braises that are arguing. Not they're arguing on the actual din, but rather they're arguing on Ula's, they're arguing on the actual din that Balchayv gets Beinonis, like Rashi learns, but rather they're arguing, is it because of what Ula said, because of Mitzvah Tikkun Olam, or is it for another reason?
Do we have another reason outside the Tikkun Olam?
We just said, there's three different possibilities. Either that Minat Torah is supposed to be Ziburis, based on Ula's Drasha, or that Minat Torah is supposed to be Beinonis, or that even Minat Torah is supposed to be Idis, and the Chachamim downgraded again with Tikkun Olam to Beinonis. Turn it up. Further on this topic now, again, we're kind of getting away from the whole matter of Nezikin now and then talking more generally about the din of collecting from land. Machal Echad, if somebody had all these various kinds of property and he sold them to one person, or the Shlosh B'nei Adam Ke'echad, or he sold them to three people all at once, so he had, again, he owed for Nezik, he owed for Ksuba, he owed for Balchoyev, he had Idis, Beninus, and Ziburis. Now he took all of his property and sold it to one person, or on one day he sold the Idis to one person, the Beninus to another, and the Ziburis to another. Kulam Nichnas to Tachas Abaylim. All of them go in and take over the responsibility of the original owner. So therefore, the one who bought the Idis is going to have to pay off the Nizik. The one who, and then of course, they'll go back to the seller, to the original guy, and collect and then collect from him for the fact that it was taken away from him. Similarly, the guy who bought the Beinonis will give it to the Baal Chayv and so forth.
And their money, they're going to sue.
And then each of them is going to go and sue the original guy, yeah. Bazaar, what if he sold them one after the other? So he sold first the Idis, then the Beninus, then the Ziburis, let's say. Kulan Govin Min Acharin. Then we say that no, everybody collects only from the last buyer. Because again, you can't collect from the Shabbadim where there's B'nai Chorin available. If let's say he sold his Idis and Beninus, and all he kept for himself is the Ziburis is still B'nai Chorin, it belongs to him. The Idis and Beinonis is already Mishabadim. You're only collecting it from them because of the original seller's debt. You can't do that where the original seller still has land.
The land that he keeps, whatever it is, let's say Ziburis, it's not encumbered?
That's the point. In other words, it is encumbered. And therefore, if he has enough Ziburis to pay off, if he has enough Ziburis that he's able to pay off all these three things with it, then that's all they get. I'm a Nizik, I should have gotten Idis. Tough luck. You can only get from B'nai Chorin, just like any other creditor. Aloy, if he doesn't have enough, if that Ziburis or whatever property it is that's left is not enough to pay all of them, go to Mil Shalafanim. Then you go back to the previous one, to the previous buyer. Aloy, go to Mil Shalafanim. So, okay, no, yeah, Reuben owned all these properties. He sold. The Idis to Shimon, the next day he sold the Beninus to Levi, the next day he sold the Ziburis to Yehuda. As long as he has, before he sold to Yehuda, everybody only collects from the Ziburis. And even now that he sold to Yehuda, everybody is going to first go to Yehuda because his was the most recently bought. Therefore, it was the most recently B'nai Chorin. If that's not enough, then they go back to Levi and start collecting from the Beninus. If that's not even enough, then they go back to Shimon and collect from the Idis. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Machron la'echad hechi dami." What's the scenario we're talking about where you sold it all to one person? Ilei mevatachas. Are you talking about that he sold all his property in one transaction to one person? Then what's the chiddush? Hashta l'shloisha. How much more? If we said if the Braita told us he sold to three different people, de'ikalame mechad minay ukadim, where arguably you could have thought maybe one of them bought it earlier. I mean, fine, all the three deeds are dated the same day, but one may have been in the morning, one may have been in the afternoon, or something. And yet you say, I'm a cool nishness to tackle the violin. Yet we say that everybody goes in instead of the owner because you have no way of knowing which one actually came first, second, or third, because Tosfos points out only in Yerushalayim would they write the time on a shtar. Everywhere else they would just write the date. Yeah, we mentioned it, I think. So does, yeah. I saw an interesting explanation. Taka, why? The reason is because in Yerushalayim, more than any place else, they knew the exact times of the day because they could synchronize them based on the times of the Korbanos Avraham. Mm. Anyway,
events. What about when it was a Shiva?
I don't know. Then maybe even Shiva, but that was a long time ago. Come on. Okay. So even in that case, Amrit Kul Nichnas Tachas Abayim. Nevertheless, we say everybody takes over the responsibilities of the owner. We don't say Reuben can't come and say, "Well, I bought mine in the morning, so I should be more off the hook." No, Machar La'echem Abayim. How much more so than if you sold them all on one day to one person? Of course, there's no chiddush in it. No, so we must be talking about that you sold on Sunday, you sold your idis to one person, to a certain person. On Monday, you sold him your bainus. On Tuesday, you sold him your ziburis. So he now owns all the property, but he sold it in three different transactions.
Therefore,
that's the chiddush. So therefore, you would have to ask, why is it different where there's three people, where each one is able to say to the respective creditors, you can't collect from me. When I bought the property, there was still other property available for you to collect from. When they come to Shimon, I'm a Nizek, give me Aegis. Okay, I bought the Aegis, it's true, but there was still Bainanis and Ziburis available at that time for you to collect from that belonged to the original Mazik. What are you coming to me for? Go to him, and that's why they end up going to Yehuda. Hi Nami, so in the case of one person, Akol Chad V'Chad, no matter which one you try to collect from, if you try to collect from the Aegis or the Bainanis, Leimele, he knocked the Lachamach and Ligvis Menu. Say the same thing, you're only entitled to collect from the one that I bought on Tuesday, because again, When I bought the ones on Sunday and Monday, he still had property available that you could have collected from them. Why don't we say the same logic?
Just sending him back to the person that he could have collected.
No,
from.
But well, now that guy doesn't have any land anymore. But now he doesn't have any land anymore. But still, why are you saying that everybody? Why are you saying that the Nizik can collect from the Idis, which he bought on Sunday? Why can't you tell him? Well, on Sunday, yes, I bought the Idis, but there was still Bainanis and Ziburis available. If you had come and collected on Monday or on Tuesday, you could have gotten it directly from him. What do you want? Why do I have to give you the Idis? But that's the question. And the answer is Hochab Maya Skinnan. No, because the case would be talking about over here. Can Shalokach Idis Bakrona? Fine, but suppose he started by buying the. We're talking about, okay, but he bought the Idis last. Therefore, it's in his interest to tell them. That you know the first one that first things first. Then in other words, because if he were to go that way, if he were to say he knocked the lachom lachom lugus menu, all of them are going to wind up taking it, because that's the last thing sold. So therefore, it's more in his interest to say, fine, you're a bachelor, you take from Benis, you're a subas isha, you take from ziburis. Don't come and take from the last thing I bought. Even though maybe in principle there would be the ability to do that, but we're going to talk on Oman Bays that you have a certain latitude in overriding a takana de rabbanon. But here, in other words, he himself has the. It's not even a takana de rabbanon so much. He himself would have been able to tell them he knocked it from off and lived this menu, but instead he has the ability to voluntarily say, you know what, I wouldn't have made you go to that guy. Fine, I'm willing to pay it out of the nechassim that I bought. But then that'll be in the order in which I bought them. Yehachi lays the kul of a ligba b'idis. Well, that's the question. In that case, why don't they all have the ability to say that? Fine, the idis was the last one that was the ben chorin.
They should come together.
They should all come. Yeah, they should all be able to say that. You know what? It's true. The idis was the last one that was left ben chorin. Therefore, at that point, our shibur came off the other one and stayed on that. It's still on that one, even though you bought it last. It's still on that one even after you bought it. Let's all collect from idis. The reason is because he has the ability to tell them, you know what, if you're going to be quiet and not make claims like that, and you'll all take the way that you're supposed to, you'll take Ziburis, and Balchoyv, you'll take Bainanis, Shaklitu, then good. You'll take from my Bainanis and Ziburis, and everything will be good. The Eloi, if you're not going to do that, what I will do is I will return the shtar with which I bought the ziburis to the owner, meaning that I will undo that part of the sale. I'll make it that the ziburis was as if it was never sold, or I'll sell it back to him or whatever. Reshek Litzer calls from a ziburis, and then all of you are going to end up taking from a ziburis. So you're better off. You're better off taking from Beinonis rather than trying to collect from Idis, even though it's true I bought the Idis.
It's not fraud.
I think it's
there.
Yeah, it could be. There is actually.
That's what I'm saying. It's fraud. It's
not
fraud. Of
course it's fraud. No, one second. There is a bit of discussion. Are we talking about that he's undoing the sale?
Yes.
First of all, it could be that he's undoing the sale. If I had known that I have to give away the Idis, I wouldn't have bought the Ziburis first. Therefore, I want
to
wait
to go back and change the deal.
But it does. It allows me to say, you know what, I would have never bought the property in that case. Therefore, I'm going to return the document and the field to him and say that I never bought the Ziburis. It's not a matter of fraud. It's a matter of I don't want to buy property, which is going to put me at a disadvantage somewhere else.
Okay, so before you bought, could you have gone to the Beit Din to determine whether or not there was a debt that was owed on this field?
You could have. And now that you mention it, actually, this is where Tosfos points out that how does a nizik get to collect from land anyway after it was sold? We know that a milvah pay, you can't collect from land,
right.
from land that was sold. Tosfos answers a couple of possibilities. One is that we're talking about after based in Paskin that he's liable to pay, then it's sort of the equivalent of a milvah b'shtar. The Rashba adds also that nizik can have a koil, and therefore it's sort of the equivalent of a milvah b'shtar anyway. Everybody knows that there was a nizik in Europe. Anyway, the point still remains. Yes, he knew that there was nezek involved. Fine, but he's saying, you know what? After all, you Baal Choyv are really essentially only entitled to Beinonis. If you're going to try to upgrade yourself to Idis, because that's the last thing I bought, I have the ability to make it that you'll be busted down to the Buddhist. There is, by the way, there is a machlokas that is shining between I think the Ramban and the Rosh. Is this actually something that is this? Basically, is this a credible threat or not? Is it basically he has, you know, he can say that, and hopefully that'll scare them, hopefully that'll scare off the guy, but not that he would have a leg to stand on to do that at basis. Or maybe even yes, maybe that is a really valid claim that he could make, and even there is the possibility, I think that Ramban talks about this, that even if he himself weren't to make this claim in Basin would make it on his behalf. That don't think that you're going to be able to collect from Idis just because it was the last one that he bought. Because really, he has the ability to undo the sale of the Ziburis and leave the Ziburis as Bnei Chorin, and then you'll all be collecting from that.
Because of an intrinsic right for the Baal Chorin to take only from
Beinonis, not from there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so then the question becomes, Yehochav and Nizokin Nami Neimahochi. Fine, by that logic, why don't we say the same thing by Nizokin? Why does he have to give the Nizik Idis?
We're not saying that by Nizokin he has to give it.
No, but the same logic that he could use to fob off of Achoyim and tell him that, you know what, either you get Beinonis or you're going to get Ziburis, because no way you're getting any of my Idis. Why wouldn't he have the ability to do the same thing? Why not? Can't he use the same logic? Wait. And therefore, necessarily, doesn't that mean that we have to say that we're talking about a case, that we are actually talking about that the original seller died, and he didn't have any real estate left. We're talking about that now. The problem that now now there are heirs, there are yisoimim, there are orphans. The lav bnei peroininu, they are not obligated to pay off their father's debts, as we learned about in Ksuvos. Actually, the Rashba adds another detail. We may even be talking about yisoimim ketanim, where you can't collect anything from them now at all. Anyway, Zoylem at least you're able to take them. So therefore, So now, if he didn't leave, so now there's no possibility of saying I'm going to return the shtar, because if you return the shtar, fine. Because if they got new property now, they're certainly not going to be obligated to pay that off. The shibuda delay.
How do we think that type of case would be?
Well, that's where we're at. That's what we're saying. We must be talking about that case. That's the only reason we can think of why you can't do such a thing with Nizikin. The original shibud therefore falls on him, on the buyer. There's no way that he can undo it by giving it back, because the guy is dead, and then now you have yisoimim. Therefore you can't say that way. Well, if you can't say that way by Nizikin, why should he be able to say that way by Baal Choyv? The reason is like this. It's not because he says I have the ability to return the shtar. It's rather something else. He can say to them, "Time of my Amar Rabbanan Ein Yisroim and Achasim Shabadim B'Makom Sheyesh B'nei Chorin." Look, after all, why did the Chachamim to begin with make the sakana that if there's Achasim B'nei Chorin, that if there's property that belongs to the original lender or to the original lender or Mazik or what have you, but it still belongs to him. It's B'nei Chorin in the sense that nobody else is involved. That at a time like that, you can't collect from Achasim Shabadim. The reason must be Mishum Takan Tividi. The reason was supposed to be for my benefit. Me being the buyer, usually that would be to my benefit. That if Reuven, the original Mazik, sells his property to me, Shimon, then I won't be on the hook to pay off any of his debt because he still has land. Well, in that case, I don't want that takana. That takana actually is a detriment to me in this case. Because, again, I bought the Idis last. If we were to say that way, we would say that before I bought the Idis, fine, we would have that takana would be in place, and you would have all gone to Reuven and collected Idis from him. Now he sold me the Idis, and you want to argue, therefore, the same rule should still apply. You're all entitled to collect from Idis. At this point, that takana now becomes a detriment to me. Not too bad. I would rather that we don't follow that takana. I would rather that as soon as I bought any of his property, the shibud landed on me, that you would have been entitled at that time to come and collect from me rather than from Reuven. And now, therefore, even after I bought the Idis, I want it to stay that way also.
He would prefer that to begin with,
when he bought the Beninus and the Ziburis, he would prefer that the Shibud at that point should be on him, not on Reuven. And later on, when the next day,
the buyer wants the Shibud to be on him.
Because he's thinking long range. When he buys the Idis, and then there's no more B'nai Chorin at that point. He doesn't want that the Shibud should land on that last thing he bought, which is the Idis.
But he didn't have a choice. If he had a choice...
What do you mean he didn't have a choice? He had a choice what to buy.
When he bought.
He chose to buy the Beninus and the Ziburis first.
Right.
And therefore, at that point, again, you would say you before the Takanas Chachamim, you would say they could have gone to him or they could have gone to the original buyer. Or let's say even in the case of Bachor, they could go to him to begin with because he has the Beninus.
Right.
Now, the Chachamim are changing that and saying that, no, we're going to have you go to Reuven, even though all he has left is Idis, and you, Balchoy, will get Idis. Fine, he's saying, in this case, once I bought the Idis, then that Takana becomes a detriment to me. I don't want that. I'd rather keep it the way it would have been pre-Takana. Well, fine. And he has the ability to do that. To say that I don't want the Takana in this case.
So what?
Well, good. Kidderaba, like Rava says. The Omer Rava. If somebody says, I do not want the Takana of the Chachamim to go in zoo, such as this case, Shemin Loi, we listen to him. So in this case, a case like this, yes, he has the ability to say, instead of the Chachamim made the Takana for my benefit. In this case, it's not a benefit. Therefore, let's leave it how it would be, pre-Takana. Mike going zoo, so what do we mean like this? What's another example where a person has the ability to say such a thing? Kidirabona, like Ravona said, to Amar Ravona, Yechoyla Isha Shatayim Labayla, a woman is allowed to say to her husband, we learned this in Ksubas many times, Eini Nizonis Ve'eini Oisa, you're not going to support me, and I'm not going to give you my Maisi Yodah. Normally, again, the Chachamim made a Takana for my benefit, usually my Maisi Yodah wouldn't be enough for me to live off of, therefore I give you that, and you give me Nizonis. In this case, I'm making more Maisi Yodah than my Mizonis, so I'd rather not. And we see that she has the ability to do that. Same way here, you have the ability.
And that's according to Rava.
That's what we're saying. The halacha is like that.
Because it doesn't benefit him.
Because the Chachamim made the Takana for two, made the Takana for his benefit. If it's not to his benefit, then yes.
And therefore, he's saying...
So that's the bottom line. Therefore, you, Balchoy, cannot collect from the Idis. You will have to take from Beninus. So now the Gemara goes into another example. Shitta. Now let's start out with the following straightforward statement. Macho lekeach beninus v'ziburis. Now let's talk about that there's a further sale being done.
What's my shitta?
Shitta. It's obvious that the following statement. Okay. Now all this time we've been talking about that you have the original Mazik Reuven or the original Mazik or Loiva or what have you Reuven, and then you have Shimon the buyer. Now let's bring in Levi, where Shimon sold the property to Levi. So, Machol Akeach Beninus Ziburis, if Shimon now goes and sells, Shimon is the buyer. He bought everything. He bought everything from Reuven.
And Reuven is the
original Mazik. Reuben is the original Mazik or Lover or divorced husband. So he sold his Idis, Benis, and Zeburis all to Shimon. And we said therefore that Shimon, depending on the order in which he bought things, is how he, if he bought them all in one transaction, then he's going to give the Idis to the Nizik and the Benis to the Bachoiv and so forth. Yeah. Now, what if he goes and sells some of this property to somebody else, to Levi? So Machalakeh Benis and Zeburis, if he sells the Benis and Zeburis, the Shir Idis Lefanav, and he kept the Idis for himself, then Leisa Kula Veligbum Idis. Then obviously everybody does come and collect from Idis in that case. Again, we're not talking about where he bought the Idis last. Yes, that's all he has left. We're talking about he bought them all in one transaction. He got rid of everything. Yeah. Because it is, after all, the last thing that's left. Or Benis is Yiburis. No, we're talking about he bought the Idis last. Then he doesn't have that ability to say anymore that he doesn't have the ability to say about the Takana. Because he bought the Idis. Actually, what Rashi says is that because before, when he had the Idis and the Benis and the Zeburis, he has the ability to say, you know what, I'm better off without the Takana, collect from Benis. Now that all he himself has left is the Idis, he doesn't have the ability to say that. The fact is, he's a buyer. So therefore, it is after all the last thing. Or Benis and Zeburis, less new Gabe, and he doesn't have the Benis and the Zeburis anymore. The Muslim member who govern Benis and Zeburis, he doesn't have the ability to say, you know what, collect from the Benis and Zeburis, I don't want the Takana, and therefore I'm better off that way. He doesn't have the ability because he doesn't have it anymore. Fine, that's how it is obvious. The question is the other way around. What about the other way around? What if he sold off the Idis to Levi and he kept the Benis and the Zeburis? What is the din? Do we say then that again, remember he bought the Idis last. He bought the Idis last. Now he sold that only to Levi. Does everybody now go to Levi to get that Idis? Or maybe they go to Shimon to get the Benis and the Zeburis? So Mike, what's the din? So Abaya thought to say, in that case, then yes, everybody's going to go and collect from the Idis. Because, Shimon, the first buyer, has the ability to say, I don't want to come to the Rabbanon, it would be to my detriment. I'm better off with, he could say, I want to come. The Takana is that the last thing I bought is what the Shibud is on. Fine, the last thing I bought is the Idis. I sold it to Levi. Fine, go to Levi. And try and collect the Idis from him and leave me alone. That's what Abaye thinks to say.
He first sold the Benis and Zeburis.
He first bought the Benis and Zeburis. Later on, he bought the Idis. So we said before that he has the ability to say, EF Shibit Takanas, Chachamim, and therefore collect from the Benis and the Zeburis. Now, if he went and sold off the Idis and kept the Benis and the Zeburis, on the contrary, now maybe he can argue, I want the Takanas, the Chachamim. I bought the Idis last. Therefore, that's what the Shibud landed on. Everything ended up going to that because that was the last thing that was B'nai Chorin. That was the last thing that belonged to Reuben. The Shibud all landed on it. Fine, now I went and sold that to Levi. Sold to Levi. However, Amalei Rava, but Rava says no. Ma macha rishon l'sheni. After all, when one person sells to the other, what does he sell him? What is Shimon selling to Levi? Kol shchus shetav liyadei. He's selling him implicitly along with the land. He's selling him all the rights that come along with it. So if they were to come to Shimon, we said he would have been able to give them from Benis and Zeburis, because he would have been able to say, even though, again, when he bought that Benis and Zeburis, the Idis at the time was still the last remaining Bnei Chorin, and the usual rule of before he sold anything to Levi, when Shimon bought the Benis and the Zeburis, and left the Idis in the hands of Reuben, afterwards, so at that point, the Idis was the only thing, on the face of it, available to collect the debt from, because the Ein Nechroim and the Chotzim Shabbadim, Kol Muzman De'ikah B'nei Chorin, because, again, the usual rule, the Takana of Achamim, that you can't collect from the Shabbadim if there are B'nei Chorin available, so therefore, on the face of it, nobody could have come and collected from Shimon, everybody would have come and collected from Reuben the Idis. Nevertheless, we just established before that Shimon has the ability to say, you know what, in retrospect, I don't want that Takana. Now that I bought this Idis also, I'm better off without that Takana. Collect just for the Benis and the Zeburis that I bought first. Lekeach Sheni Nami. Well, then by that same logic, Levi also, the second buyer, has the same right. Mosi Amalei Gavid Beninus Ziburis. And that you should collect from the Beninus and the Ziburis, which are still in Shimon's hand. Because when the second seller, when the second buyer buys the land, when he buys the Yiddish, Adaita the Kol Kolta the Havelution the Gav is of it. He has in mind that he's buying along with it all the rights that Shimon had on it. Shimon had the right to tell them you can't get from the Yiddish because the EF Shiva Takana Kamim. Levi should have that same right. So you can't take from his Yiddish. You have to, of necessity, go to Shimon and get his Beninus and Ziburis.
We could have said that previously also.
No, previously there was no Levi involved. There was no second buyer. So now that Shimon has all the three things in his possession, it's just a question, which are you collecting?
Well, the possibility is saying they don't want it to come.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Shimon had that ability before. Now we're saying Levi inherited that right. Yeah.
So then what happens?
So that's what happens then. So therefore, when they come to Shimon, you have Beninus and Ziburis. I'm a Baal Chayiv. Give me from Beninus. He can't tell them. That's what we're saying. Robert is saying he cannot tell them, I'm sorry, go to Levi. I sold it. No, a Nizek. Let's say a Nizek comes to him and says, I want Idis.
Right.
He'll go to Levi. You have the Idis, which you bought from Shimon, who bought it from Reuben, and I'm a Nizek. Pay up. Levi has the ability to tell them. Levi has the ability to tell them because EF Shiva Takana Chachamim and Shimon bought this Idis last. I don't want that Takana. I want that the Shibud should have been on the Beninus and the Ziburis, which Shimon bought first. He still has them. Go to Shimon. You're a Nizek and you're supposed to be getting Yiddish. It's not my problem.
So they cancel each other.
So they, yeah. Amar Rava, another din in this connection. Reuben Shemacha Kol Sadeis of the Shimon. Now suppose that Reuben goes and sells all his fields to Shimon, all at once, let's say. Then Shimon goes and sells one of those fields to Levi, and that field, let's say, is Beninus. Now Reuben's Baal Chayiv comes along and needs to collect out of Beninus. In that case, Rotem is Zegover, Rotem is Zegover. In that case, he can collect from either one. He can collect the Beninus field that was sold to Levi, or he can collect one of the Beninus fields that Shimon still has. In that case, we don't say that Levi is off the hook, and we don't say that Shimon is off the hook either. Either of them is equally well on the hook. But Lo Yamaran, however, this is only talking about Ella de Zavad Beninus. This is only talking about specifically if Levi bought Beninus property. Because Beninus is what basically under a shivut to the Baal Chayiv. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv has the usual ability to say that Beninus is what I'm supposed to be collecting from. Fine. When Reuben owned this property, all of that Beninus was fair game for me. So now also, some of it is in Shimon's hands, some of it is in Levi's hands. Doesn't matter. Avol Zovan.
What can they say now?
No, nothing. Neither of them can say anything. Avol Zovan Idis Vizibudis. However, if Levi had actually gone and bought Idis or Ziburis, then we do not say that. Then we say that the Baal Chayiv can only collect from Shimon. Why? Because Levi can tell that Baal Chayiv, Lahachi Daiki Vizavni Idis Ziburis. This is actually, I knew that there was this outstanding loan of Reuben. I specifically went and bought Idis or Ziburis from Shimon out of the Lechazalach, which after all is land that's generally not suitable for you to take from, because usually you take from Beninus. So therefore, in other words, Levi can say that, no, since there's still Beninus available in Shimon's hand, and Beninus is usually what you should be getting, go collect from him. And Vafilu Zavan Beninus Nami, and actually, even if he bought Beninus, loya moron elo deleshia Beninus to kavase. It's still only talking about if he didn't leave over in Shimon's hand some Beninus of equal value. So in other words, within Beninus itself, there are different qualities. So if he bought, for example, all of the higher Beninus and left all the lower Beninus, then we're saying that the Baal Chayiv can take from either one. But if he left some Beninus of equal quality by Shimon, then again, we will say the Baal Chayiv will not be entitled to collect from Levi, the Matzi Omele, because then he has a different argument. He can say, it's true I bought Venus, and Venus is something that you have, that you have rights to. However, he nachtu l'chamakim l'gus menu, but he can tell him that actually, I mean, I left over a different place where you could collect from. I Badavka didn't go and buy all of the Venus of this quality in order that some of it should still be in Shimon's hand, and you should be able to collect from him.
So he knew that there was a
Baal Tov. When you buy it, that's the whole point. That's the point that we were saying, that we were mentioning briefly on Amud Aleph, which we learned about in Ksubas and in Gittin a lot, that when there's a milva al peh, when there's a verbal milva, you can't collect from the chasam shabbatim because a verbal one has no coil, but a written one has a coil. People know that there's this outstanding loan, and they know to keep an eye out for it. They know they're taking a certain risk when they buy land. So in this case, then Levi says, yes, I knew there was a schoiv outstanding, and therefore I bedavka made sure not to buy all the bainanis. I made sure to leave some bainanis of that quality in Shimon's hand. That way you can collect from him and rather than me. Now, Tosfos points out that technically, I mean, that argument, Hamak and Logos Menu, is really more relevant to the original debtor, to the original loiva, and the first buyer. It's really not as relevant when you're talking a first buyer and a second buyer, because they're all sort of on an equal level as far as that goes relative to the loiva. The real reason is, Tosfos says, I think I was mentioning it as a lashon, but the real reason is because he's saying, look, you know what? When he sold me the property, he sold me all the schos that came with it. He had the ability to say, out of all the bainanis, collect, you know, there's a lot of vainness over here. You don't have to take this one. Fine, I have that same ability.
He had the same ability to...
Shimon, when he bought all the vainness, and now the Baal Chayav comes to collect the debt, can tell him, you know, there's a lot of vainness over here. You don't have to take this particular parcel of vainness. Take a different parcel of vainness.
That shouldn't be
so same thing when Levi is involved. Levi has inherited, bought along with the property that kind of right. Therefore, he also has the ability to say that actually, you know what, there still is some other land of equal quality by Shimon. Therefore, instead of bothering me, go to Shimon.
And that works.
That's what we're saying. That works the same way as it would have worked for Shimon. It works for Levi.
How do they determine? I mean, if both have some bainanis left, so who is who?
So that's what we have to figure out among the bainanis itself, there's higher and lower quality bainanis. If you have that Levi bought a parcel of bainanis and Shimon has parcels of bainanis that are of equal quality, then Levi has the ability to say, you know what, it's no harm to you to take one versus the other. Zenen and Vizele Chaser, as we'll learn about in the next Perek, you're not losing anything by taking a different one. I stand to gain, therefore go to Shimon.